You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 podcast.
The second hour is here, and there's a lot of conversation out of the ACC meetings underway in Amelia Island that there could be as many as 7 schools at least exploring a route out, very expensive route. It's also a meeting where the most well-known coach in the league apparently is not there, Dabo Swinney. We'll get the story from our man, Brandon Marcello, who is there and is not threatening to leave his company for any other, we don't think, without paying the grant of rights. Brandon, thank you. We all envy you. Looks like a great locale. Tell us about it. And apparently quite a bit happening. I don't know how much news is being created, but a lot of speculation.
A lot of speculation here at Amelia Island, where, by the way, the Federal Reserve, I guess, is holding a conference here this week as well. So all the movers and shakers are coming here, and I'm sure Florida State would like to see if they get any money from them. But as we sit here, they just entered their first meetings here at the ACC spring meetings, and the big discussion point for them is, can we create a new revenue distribution model that would favor programs that are getting more invites to the college football playoff, that are drawing more television ratings when it comes to football time across the ACC? And those discussions will not occur until Wednesday. And when those do occur Wednesday, I'm told that they've only carved out about a 30-minute space in these hours and hours-long meetings to discuss revenue distribution. So there will not be any sort of resolution from that right now. But again, a lot of rattling of the cages to see what this conference is going to look like, and for that matter, what the future holds for those big programs that are wanting more money from the conference.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon, it's one thing to saber rattle. It's another thing to actually do it. I mean, I've seen numbers, and you're down there, so I'll defer to you. But, I mean, you just can't walk away from this deal, can you? And what is the price if you decide to do it?
Yeah, it's an ironclad grant of rights right now, and it's through 2036. If you're a school that wants to leave, say you're Florida State or Clemson, if you want to leave, the estimates that I have been able to come up with from talking to experts in the last year since it's really been discussed is that it might end up costing you over $500 million to exit. That's what we're talking about here. We're not just talking about a $120 million buyout. We're talking about your TV rights that you give up all the way through 2036, along with exit fees. But the key here, especially considering this report about the 7 schools that have now been identified as exploring a way to maybe break that ironclad grant of rights, is that if more than 50% of the membership in the ACC were to leave, so 8 schools or more, then that grant of rights dissolves and they don't have to worry about it. So the only threat here that is legitimate is that if you were able to get 7 or 8 schools to leave the ACC to go create their own conference, so to speak, that's the only real big way out of this. But again, these lawyers, they've been going up to the offices in Greensboro and now Charlotte in the ACC to look at these grant of rights and explore them and see if they're able to break them potentially. But here in the immediate future, these schools are looking at getting a bigger revenue share to help close the gap between them and the SEC and the Big Ten. The problem with that is that even if they were to get that done, you're only closing the gap by a edge, and you're probably only kicking the can down the road until 2034 or 2036, when these schools might end up saying, we're leaving anyway.
Brandon, I'll try not to sound too snobby sitting here at the SEC Network headquarters, but 7 schools...
Don't say it too loudly.
I mean, I can think of 2, 3, 4. I'm not sure I can come up with 7 that really would have a suitable landing place. I mean, what are we really talking about here? I mean, is this just a bunch of sound and fury signifying nothing, or is there somebody in that caboose really seriously looking into this?
Well, I think the top schools you mentioned, like Florida State or Clemson or Miami, would have a significant leg to stand on. But again, you're taking a chance because you're talking about breaking that grant of rights, but also what is your landing spot? Would the SEC take you? Would the Big Ten take you? Those teams, yes, but if you're NC State, probably not. And that's kind of when you get lumped into this situation where if this revenue distribution model that they're discussing doesn't get passed here in the next year or so, do those seven schools and maybe an eighth or ninth school discuss, hey, let's just go break off and go do our own thing, start our own conference, come up with our own grant of rights, come up with our own media deals. Again, these are hypothetical after hypothetical after hypothetical. But that's the real threat here to me, is that if there's that many schools looking at the grant of rights, but also are in favor of doing this new revenue distribution model, and they don't get it, then what does the next step entail? Well, then you're saying, are you threatening the ACC? Are you saying that you're going to walk? Well, the ACC could go, well, try us. Go for it. Because right now you owe us a lot of money if you do so.
Talking to Brandon Marcello live in Amelia Island, is there any chance that they could come up with this uneven distribution? It's hard to imagine a league surviving well with one or two getting more than the other.
Well, the pitch here is that it would be like a merit-based system. So let's say Florida State. I'd use this example here when I'm talking to folks. 3 years ago, Florida State would not be getting paid as much as they would maybe this year as a playoff contender and maybe in the playoff or New Year's Six game. It's going to be based off of merit of success. Do you get to the playoff game? Do you get to New Year's Six? But also the fact that is this, and I can report this, is that what they're discussing right now is how does the TV component come into this? We're not talking about the actual TV money. We're talking about like a few million dollars here and there with bowl payouts and getting a larger sum of that to the school than just splitting it out amongst everybody else in the ACC. So if we're going to talk TV money, which they have not even really discussed yet, how do you weigh that? Are you just saying, well, we have 3 million average viewers in games. We've had five of the top 10 games in the ACC this year. We deserve this percentage. That hasn't even really been discussed. Again, there's a lot of things they've got to hammer out before they actually pitch a full-fledged working revenue distribution model. Not to mention, as you mentioned, Paul, the idea that you're going to be ruffling a lot of feathers out there. And then also this, as I mentioned at the top of this, Florida State 3 years ago would not have been making as much money as, say, maybe they will hypothetically this year because they'd be more successful in football or basketball or whatever. So doesn't that really even itself out and you're pretty much standing where you were even before we talk about this uneven revenue distribution model? Where we're talking about you being behind $30 million in the SEC. Nothing really changes there in the long run when you average it out.
Brandon, before you go, I mean, these are big deals. You get coaches, basketball, football, ADs, presidents. It's about the only time all year everybody's at the same place. The football coaches may meet one other time in the wintertime. Which brings me to the Dabo Swinney question. Where is he?
I'm told that he is in Africa on safari. And he had that already planned out before he knew the dates of the ACC spring meetings, and he couldn't get out of it. So he's over there, I guess, out of cell reception service as well. There were rumors that the ACC was going to fine him, but I'm told that he's not going to be fined for missing the meetings, and so he doesn't have to worry about that. But he's not the only coach who's missing from here. He is the only football coach, but again, you know, we talk about this being a business season and everything, but the presidents and chancellors aren't here. They're actually meeting separately elsewhere at another date and time, so not a lot of decisions of any consequence are going to be made and finalized here at Amelia Island this year.
Very strange, because usually, I mean, I can't speak for the ACC, but the SEC, the meetings are always the same every year, as you well know. You can mark it down Tuesday after Memorial Day. Saying the dog ate the homework like Dabo is not really a very good excuse, but I hope he has a good time in the safari, and I can't wait to see the video.
I hope there are pictures, and I hope that he is wearing all khakis.
I mean, he's already Brandon Marcello in Amelia Island. Brandon, thank you. Appreciate it. Great to talk to you. We'll take a break. More of more guests as well. Bruce Feldman later on. Your phone calls around the corner.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Dane is up next. Hello, Dane.
Paul, I figured you were expecting me today.
I'm never doubting.
Yes, sir. Hey, so did you catch any of the SEC softball tournament this past weekend?
Yes.
Did you watch any of the Patrick Murphy clown show on Friday night?
I failed to connect with that.
Well, Friday was when Montana ended up getting hurt there in the seventh, and they pulled it off in extra innings. Followed by a game against Tennessee, who was the one seed for the tournament. You know, Bama was a five seed.
Right.
But had Texas and Oklahoma been in, they would have been a seven seed more than likely. But Montana gets hurt, which Murphy was saying that she probably wasn't going to go anyway, just to save her up for Oklahoma City. Well, get around to the Tennessee game, and we have to start our other girl. We get a four spot in the first inning when the offense has just been frustrating as all get out to begin with in the tournament. You know, we can't score runs in big games. We've been relying on Montana's pitching too much. But we get a four spot in the first inning, followed by Tennessee hitting a grand slam there in the second inning, or maybe in the bottom half of the first inning. Went on to lose. We would have played South Carolina for it all. I'm not even sure who won that Tennessee
did.
South Carolina game. Okay, I got you. Well, now, I was going to ask you if you knew how much money that Murphy paid to get that five seed for the regional, considering that a couple teams that had better records and actually beat Alabama. Yeah,
first of all, Dane, I understand your concerns. I hear it every year, but we are only beginning the tournament this week. What's the big deal?
Well, the big deal is even hosting this regional at home, you'd think that being a five seed and being one of the best programs in college softball that I would be confident going in. I'm not confident at all, Paul. You got Central Arkansas, they're like 44-10. You got Middle Tennessee, 39-18. These are not just pushover teams. And, you know, we didn't make it out of our regional last year. So, you know, I'm just hoping that after the year comes, you know, Montana's last year, I don't even know if she's going to get the pitch. And you know, players jumping ship on Murphy like the Titanic. I'm just not confident. I don't know what your thoughts are or who you got this year, but Gasso and Oklahoma are probably going to take care of business.
Well, Dane, thank you. I mean, we're talking about Patrick Murphy, who's a Hall of Fame coach, a national championship coach, and the NCAA tournament is still 4 days away, and Dana is already swallowing bullets. AC is up next. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely, Mr. Feinbaum. I did some homework. It says today is National Chocolate Chip Day. So my question is, when is National Fat Americans Day? I mean, it should happen, right? You guys are fat, especially 365 days a year. I'm pretty sure half a dozen of the chocolate chip you garbage, you idiot, ate up.
AC, quick question. Where were we, what country were you born in?
Do I have to answer that question?
Well, I don't think it's a difficult question to answer where what your nationality is.
Didn't I write you a letter and I told you who I am?
Well, you did write me a letter, and by the way, thank you for the second letter. We got that, and we're very appreciative of your kindness. But you're sitting there talking about Americans and how disgusting they are, and I just simply responded. I think it's a fair question. What is your nationality? Where were you born?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, you asked me that same question 4 years ago.
Well, it doesn't matter if I've asked you 100 times. I think it's one of the – there are many easy answers, like how old are you, where are you born, what is your name. I'll ask you again one more time, AC. Where were you born?
Absolutely. I can answer that for you. I'm just messing with you. I was born in Bangladesh. How about that?
That's a good – and you are, I do remember that now in Bangladesh. I had a friend who used to live in Bangladesh. It's and did a lot of good work there.
You told me.
Well,
told
I'm sorry.
Me
I can't,
ago, you
know, well, listen, I don't talk to that many people from Bangladesh, so I like to spread the good cheer. Are you a citizen of any particular country right now? Are you a Canadian citizen?
Citizen of the country that I was born? Absolutely.
So you are
American citizen.
You are okay. So you are just one question at a time here. I see. So you are a national. You are an American citizen, correct?
Absolutely.
Then why do you continue to bash Americans for being fat?
You got to say freedom of speech. So I'm just exercising my right.
And I'm exercising mine.
That's right. You are. Because you guys are fat, ugly Americans.
Now we're ugly.
Fine, Bob. Always love you.
AC, was there any other message that you wanted to communicate other than Americans are fat?
I hate you, fat American.
I'm glad we got that accomplished. Well, I'm glad you got that in, AC. I don't think I would have been able to sleep tonight without knowing that my brethren, my fellow Americans, are fat and what?
Fat and ugly.
Fat and ugly.
Garbage. How about that?
Garbage. I mean, why leave it there, AC? Keep going.
Going, because I don't want them to commit suicide. I don't want to be responsible.
Just for the record, AC has communicated with our show twice in recent weeks. And I want to say that we are always appreciative when we hear from our listeners. But about a month ago, he sent us a gift card, correct? Mm-hmm. For Dunkin' Donuts. And the other day, we received a gift card for the staff to Domino's Pizza. And he's wondering why we have difficulty here with our weight. He's contributing to it, isn't? Is he not? I mean, send us a, I don't know, what would be a healthy, yeah, a smoothie gift card or a, or what's that salad place? Chops. Yeah. I mean, I'm not looking a gift horse in the mouth. I'm just asking if you're so unhappy. I mean, we've all chowed down on those Dunkin' Donuts and the Domino's. And I guess now we're just fat.
Fat Americans, fat and ugly.
fat, ugly Americans. I don't know what's going on here. Daryl is in Baton Rouge. Hello, Daryl.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey.
How are you today?
We are well.
I would rather deal with roaches than just what happened to me. I went outside to get my garbage cans, and a wasp came out of a wasp nest and stung me on the arm.
Oh, my goodness.
I said, you do not want that. Mercy. No, I'd rather turn on the lights and have roaches scatter.
When I was a teenager, walked on a, was it, I can't remember whether it was a bee or a wasp. Which hurts more?
A wasp.
Wasp?
I don't know. Both
whatever
same,
I did, I stepped I on the nest and I got stung nest. About 15 times. And I haven't for, it may, I don't know what it was, but I know how you feel.
Yeah, my wife just put some baking soda on it, so it'll be
bacon right. Soda, is that
hey,
good
listen,
for you?
I want to talk about the interview with Max Chadwick. But
yes.
First of all, I want to talk about what Dwayne. Dwayne is a high-pressure stick welder, and he's also probably a plasma arc welder. And I say all that to say this. You got to have some certifications.
Okay.
You got to be a top welder. You got to have a hand like a surgeon.
In other words, you're telling me I'm not going to get the job.
Well, I don't know. If you can go through about 7-8 tests, and then they got to X-ray all you want.
I have no qualifications for anything.
Well, I don't know then, Paul. But he is making that long money. Those boys out there probably start off at $85 an hour.
Are you serious?
Yes, and you don't have to do anything until they call for you, because not every well is a high-pressure well.
Got it.
You welding on stuff that if you don't pay attention and don't pass the X-ray, it'll go boom in the night.
Now, you said how many dollars an hour? 85?
Probably starting around 85. So maybe the top of the pecking order.
So what's that? What kind of money is that? Do the math for me, Randy. I'm just trying to compare and see if it's better than this gig right here, because I can get down there by tomorrow morning.
40-hour week, but he's probably getting overtime calls too.
That's serious money.
Yeah, I would say so. And then Jim, you call up and pray anytime you want. Man, these people get him all emotional, and then he's got to call back and act like Daniel in the lion's den because they're getting him all riled up. But that doesn't have anything to do with his praying. I mean, let the man pray.
I agree. What does the bacon soda do for a wasp sting?
I don't know. Pulls the I don't know. It made the swelling go down and
did
it quit
really?
Hurting. So it must pull, I don't know, the stinger out or something.
And the only problem I have is I think my dog would probably come by and lick it.
Yeah, well,
is bacon soda good?
Ball spray on them.
I hit
them with
the
that ball spray, and they started falling off that nest.
Well, Daryl, if you have any trouble with that, you better have it seen. We'll take a break here on the Fat American Show. We're back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back, and Chaplain Mac is up next.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, buddy?
Mac, we are doing great.
Good. I just wanted to call you and bring some light to something that's going on this week. This is a National Peace Officers Memorial Week, where different venues host other units, and they look back at people that gave the ultimate sacrifice in law enforcement. And I just came from a big one, the city of Opelika, Alabama, and Auburn, Alabama, and Lee County all got together and memorialized several guys we have lost in the law enforcement field. And I'd just like to remind you that's going on because they're sheepdogs for people that can't protect themselves, and they deserve to be memorialized and thought about and prayed for. Their families are still going through the trauma of losing somebody early, and I'd appreciate if you'd shed some light on that, and I appreciate it.
You bet. It's always good to hear from you, Mac, and thank you for making us aware. Jamie is calling next. Hello, Jamie.
Hey, Paul. How are you, sir?
Very well, Jamie. Thank you.
You know, we've talked before. Listen, this is very near and dear to my heart, and you were gone last week to the tournament, and I didn't call in because you had a stand-in. My daughter went through tryouts on April 28th for the flag again in Bama, and I want to. And it's not about her. I want to tell you about this young lady, and my daughter couldn't remember her name. She had been there for her third time, and what got me thinking about it was last week when Sarah was on, and you interviewed her,
right,
with the Lou Gehrig disease. This girl has, they made them run like around the Hank Crisp indoor facility for multiple times, but and then do calisthenics before they started. And this girl had to run on a walker, Paul. Mm. My daughter was telling me, because I've raised her to be good people, and she would help her. And she said, "Don't worry about me. This is my third tryout." And she says, "If I don't make it, I'm coming back next year. I'm coming back for the fourth time." And, Paul, I know you know people, and I know you have a good heart, and we've talked about that before. And if you can do anything to find out this girl's name with your power, and it's about people, Paul, it's about love and understanding, to somehow, I know they got her name documented because you've been there so many times. Can we not try to do something to get this girl, like, an honorary member of the Million Dollar Band and Flag or something?
Jamie, we will certainly do everything we can to effort that. Thank you for sharing that with us. You be well. Mike is up next. Hey, Mike.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey, Mike.
I just tuned in hoping to get some SEC football news, but instead I'm getting WWF Championship Wrestling. And then Dabo's left the country. And I'm glad you pulled the plug on AC. And for Darryl and Squirrel, I just want to say, oil's well and ends well.
Well, Mike, thanks for sharing that very valuable information.
Thanks, Mike.
Willie is calling next. Hey, Willie.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I want to start a rumor, if you don't care.
I don't care, no.
Okay, I heard you say something about being at the golf tournament. Nick Saban wasn't there. He was out of the country. Now we find out Dabo Swinney's out of the country. I reckon we get something started on that.
Well, it's funny because Dabo's on a safari in Africa. I'd heard Saban was in Italy.
Then it won't go then.
Yeah, I mean, Italy to Africa is a pretty good hike.
Yeah,
I think some folks have tried that in the past.
Yeah, I like to stir the pot, so I thought I heard that, and I said, well, let's stir something up. Give I-Man something to talk about.
That is great. Well, hey, thank you, Willie. This is the new trend now. Just blow off the meetings. Go to a different continent. Dan is up next in Louisiana.
Thanks, Paul. Great
hey,
show today, Paul.
Thank you.
Paul, I've been thinking about the sitcom.
Oh, yeah.
I've been thinking about, too, I've been thinking about the song, the new song, but I'll talk about that some other time.
Okay.
Anyway, I think I found the perfect guy to be Jim. you know the guy Kramer from Seinfeld?
Oh, yeah.
Richards, Michael Richards.
Correct.
I think he would.
He would be a good gym. You're right.
I think so. Handsome Joe. I think maybe Rodney Dangerfield. And I-Man Nick Nolte.
I don't know if Rodney is Rodney still around.
I don't know, but yeah. I'm just. This is my imagination, you know.
It's by the way, Dan. I-Man. It is you have some imagination. John in Louisville. Rodney
good
died
afternoon.
About 15 years ago, but don't let that
Rodney's
stop a good
been,
story.
Rodney's been dead for a little while. You just don't get no
take
respect.
Take my life, please.
Yeah, I know. Hey, who knew you were imperfect and, well, we're all ugly, fat Americans.
A guy from Bangladesh who spent most of his life in Jersey who now lives in Canada. Supposedly.
And now we know why he can't get through customs, because when they ask where he's born, he starts arguing and deferring and deflecting.
Well, all you got to do is, there are a couple of, Canada to the United States might be the easiest passage around.
Except for AC. Hey, Paul, I saw an article, 247 Sports or 24/7 Sports, about overrated and underrated teams. I know in the SEC, Alabama's underrated. That's kind of expected. Ole Miss is overrated. Any other teams in the SEC that you see as either significantly over or underrated coming up this season?
Well, I still think A&M's a little bit underrated. I'm starting to believe Ole Miss is underrated, too, at least in the confines of the SEC. Overrated... Haven't really done much thought on that.
What do you see? I think LSU is where they should be. What do you see as Tennessee?
I think Tennessee is 9-10 wins easily. I think that program has taken a big leap forward. That Florida State has me very nervous in terms of all the attention they're getting.
I agree. And can you imagine how big that game is against LSU?
I just feel that that bubble gets shattered pretty quickly.
Well, two other teams, they have Miami underrated and they have Notre Dame overrated. I think those are spot on, don't you?
Notre Dame should perennially be overrated.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Paul.
John, thank you. Heading to our break. We've had a busy show already. We're coming back with more of your phone calls right after this.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Auburn trailing 14-5. Out of shotgun, Patrick Nix. Alabama bringing everybody. Nix is going to float one for Sanders. Sanders, he caught it at the two. Did he dive in? Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! Oh, my goodness! Sanders went up over Tommy Johnson or Antonio Langham. He caught the ball. First down play. Here up the middle. Bostic, 5 yards, 10 yards. He's gone! Touchdown, Auburn! 11-0!
And that was the sound of Jim Fife, the legendary Auburn broadcaster and the famous 1993 season when Auburn, on probation, couldn't go to a bowl game, couldn't play in the SEC, went 11-0 with an upset over Alabama in the final game of the year at Jordan-Hare Stadium. It was 20 years ago today that Jim passed away, and I was reminded of that earlier joining my friend Doug Amos, his program in Montgomery, who devoted the entire program to Jim's memory. Doug was his radio partner back in the day. One of the we talk about broadcasters all the time, but truly one of the most legendary figures ever, and one of the best, and also a very close friend of ours. We miss him dearly, and we are. It's just, I got goosebumps just listening to that. One of a million Jim Fife calls. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Don is up next. Good afternoon, Don.
Yeah, thanks, Paul, for taking my call. I want you to help me figure this out. When Kirby was at Alabama, their offensive line and defensive line kind of controlled the ball game. Would you say that's pretty fair?
For the most part, Alabama made a living off of wearing people down, yes.
Yes, okay. Now, about the second year Kirby was at Georgia, they started controlling the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, pretty much.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, when Kirby was at Alabama, who was the strength coach?
Scott Cochran.
Okay. When the second year at Georgia, who was strength coach there?
I know what you're asking me, but I'm thinking for a reason, because when Scott went to Georgia, I don't think he went as a strength coach. I thought he went as a special teams coach.
He went as a special team coach, but I'm sure he done a lot of training on their strength, though. Who was coaching the strength?
I know exactly what you're saying, and I think what Scott Cochran brought to Alabama cannot be duplicated by all the highfalutin science that Alabama currently uses. They have top-notch people. Don't misunderstand that point. But I can't tell you how many times I watched Scott Cochran on the sideline in the fourth quarter, and I've never seen anything like him before.
No, never. I don't think Scott gets enough of credit for what he did at Alabama, and I think what he did at Georgia too. One more thing, Jim from Tuscaloosa, I wish he quit calling and putting people down. Call and talk about football. I mean, that's baseball, basketball. That's what this show's about. It ain't criticizing people. Call and talk about the ball and sports.
Don, thank you. Appreciate your call very much. Bob in Michigan is up next. Hey, Bob.
Yes. You know what's frustrating to Canadians? The last 30 years, an American team has won the Stanley Cup. And when the NHL goes to expansion, they always pass up the Canadian cities because they're not viable. Cities like Quebec City, Colorado used to be there. And the fans, they wouldn't support an NHL team in Quebec City. And the only viable option is maybe put a team in Toronto. And the Maple Leafs, they own the rights to Toronto. And they don't want to give up their rights to their city. But the NHL, they're talking about expanding into the deep west and the south. The NHL may expand into Atlanta, Georgia. San Diego's a great fit for an NHL team. San Diego don't have a NBA team. They don't have an NFL team. And San Diego would be a great fit like Seattle. But it's really frustrating to Canadians, where the last time a Canadian city won the Stanley Cup was the Montreal Canadiens in 1993. And now the mayor of Toronto, he's talking about getting an NFL team in Toronto. If that happens, that could be the end of the CFL.
I guess winning the NBA doesn't count, does it?
The NBA does great in Detroit.
No, I'm talking about when the Raptors won a couple of years ago.
Oh, the Raptors are doing great in Toronto.
They're not that great. They just fired the coach. But RD is up next. Hello, RD. Good afternoon.
How are you doing today, Paul?
We are doing well. Thank you.
All right. I got a couple of things. One thing, how do you think Alabama and Georgia's, what do you think is going to be the quarterback situation at Alabama and Georgia?
Well, I think the Alabama situation is a little more confusing. I think the Georgia QB room was settled in spring. But Alabama, I'm puzzled by everything about that. I thought when Buckner made the move, he seemingly was guaranteed the start, although a lot of my friends in Tuscaloosa pushed back on that and still point toward Milroe. But clearly Nick Saban wants a competition. He's got five quarterbacks on scholarship. There's no way that holds up for long. He's got too many good players. He's got too many good quarterbacks in that room to keep them all.
Yeah, I don't think they'll all stay there. I think you're going to have some going into the transfer portal for long. But another thing I was going to ask you about was, or make a statement about, was Jim in Tuscaloosa. I just like to say he said he didn't know if he was a Christian or not. Well, you know, if you don't know if you're a Christian or not, you better be finding out before it's eternally too late. And, you know,
we are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.